Okay, recording. I'm good. My levels are great. Are
How
yours?
About me?
Oh, you're doing
so
well.
I feel pretty good.
Oh my gosh, welcome to RIP Jordan Jensen. That took a long time to set up, but I did it.
Good for you.
I did it. I'm going to
figure
this out.
Good for all of us. Yay. I mean, that was the pod.
That was it.
Watching you set this up for the past 53 minutes.
Oh my.
I've been here for almost an hour watching you and not really helping.
Not helping at all. You tried to turn that knob. Look at the knob. How fucked up is
it
still?
It looks bad.
It looks really bad. I'm really sorry, Harry. You're going to have to cock that one. Does that suck?
I think it's all right.
I think that you're saying that because you don't want me to fuck with it.
There's that. But then also, have you seen like Yorgos Lanthimos? He made that movie, Killing of a Sacred Deer. And every shot was kind of at a weird angle. And that's kind of what that is.
I got to tell you, I really like that movie.
Which one? Poor Things? Or Killing of a Sacred Deer?
No, I hated Poor Things.
I hated Poor Things.
Did you?
I didn't hate it.
We're friends.
I didn't hate it.
We're friends.
I didn't love it.
Here's our problem.
I have friends that are in it. So
really?
I don't want to say I hated it. I liked it.
I'm living in LA.
I liked it.
Poor Things was, the best way I heard it described was alt Barbie.
Mmm. Yeah. Good? Yeah. Sort of.
Here's my problem with Lars von Trier, that movie, is like a lot of movies that are like, this is an independent woman dealing with emotions. They immediately go to, she's having sex a lot. That's my other problem with your favorite author, Sally Rooney.
It's not my favorite
author. It's your favorite and everybody knows it.
It's not true.
She does that same thing where she's like, oh, a woman in distress, I guess she'll suck some cack.
Yeah, but like when you do stand-up, what do you talk about a lot?
Sucking cack.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, but that's not because I'm talking about being sad. I talk about being sad and taking lay down showers.
I mean, I just think that women are going to talk about that stuff because it's hoisted upon them being sexualized. I'm such a bitch. But that's I think why.
Elena Ferrante doesn't talk about it.
I don't know who that
Neither
is.
Neither does. What?
I don't know. I don't really know women.
I hooked Mike Rowland on the novels.
Oh, she's an author?
She's unbelievable. She's the best author that's ever been.
Elena
Ferrante. I'll let you borrow one of it. Maybe Mike has one.
Argentinian?
No, she's Italian.
Mm.
She's very good.
La ragazza.
Yeah, la ragazza.
La ragazza mangia la mela.
Yeah. What's that mean?
The girl eats an apple.
La
ragazza mangia la mela.
That's good. You're doing great.
I have a good accent. I can do any accent.
Really? Anyone?
Yeah.
Indian? Black.
yo.
Pretty good.
Indian, curry.
That's really good.
Yes.
That was just one word.
Yeah, curry.
Keep going.
I like curry.
It really doesn't seem racist when you do anything.
No, it's my superpower.
That's amazing.
It's pretty cool.
Okay, so how's it been going? You live in LA, you hate it.
Yeah, LA's not good. LA sucks.
You like your job.
I do like my job. I write for a TV show and it's fun and makes me money.
How often do you go in?
Every day.
Every day?
4 days a week, not Friday.
So not every day?
Not every day.
What's wrong with you?
I'm sorry.
I mean, you just answer the question and lie immediately.
I know.
How many hours a day?
Some days
every day.
It's 8:30. Some days it's 8:30 to 5, and then some days it's 8:30 to 10.
Do you feel regimented there, or do you feel like you're eating snacks and feel bad about yourself?
We are eating a lot of snacks. Writers' rooms are full of snacks, so we do eat a lot of donuts.
So you don't feel like, I'm waking up at 8, I'm doing my thing, and then I'm going back home?
No.
You feel bad?
I do feel bad. But then sleeping is good. Sleeping has never been better. When you're unemployed or you're just doing the road, sleeping is really bad. But then when you have a job, it's nice because you get home at 9 and you're kind of tired and then you go to bed at like 11. That's fucking great.
I can't imagine having good sleep.
It's pretty sick. I also quit caffeine.
Wow, that's good. You were having a lot of poopy panic attacks.
A lot of panic attacks.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have a heart problem. Like I think I have
an arrhythmia. Well, cardiophobia is a huge thing in the comedy community. Do you know about this?
I know Mike Rowland has it too.
Mike Rowland, Ronan, I mean, I don't know if Ronan has it, but like a million people.
You just said him because he's really Jewish.
Yeah, because he's really Jewish. No, but there was somebody else I was talking to that was like, I think my heart's going to stop. I've seen a lot of features I've had. Mm. And it's...
I don't know why it's not more common. The heart is
I'm
scary.
I'm sure it is. I just talk to comedians.
It's scary that the heart is like... it seems to be the only organ that's just constantly doing a thing. And if it stops, you die.
No, there's little bugs on your eyelashes that are working. There's your lungs. Those are always pumping. Your, you know, your intestines are always doing something. It's all doing something. Why are you worried about that muscle? And that's one of the muscles that if it stops, they just fucking hook a carburetor up to it.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I get it. It's because it's your guy.
It's your main guy.
It's your guy.
And you can feel it. I can't really feel my lungs or my intestines, but you can feel your heart, and that's spooky.
Well,
and you can't. Sometimes I put my hand on my heart, and I'm like,
"Don't do that.
It doesn't feel right." You know?
Really?
Yeah.
Is it like when you're too high?
I'm insane. Yeah, that's what it is. It's the same sort of sensation.
Does it feel like it's beating fast?
Yeah.
We could get it to beat fast just by talking about it right now.
Totally.
Really?
Well, I think that's true for anybody.
No, I'm not having that.
No?
I can get myself to faint by thinking about it.
I can make myself have a panic attack if I try.
Really?
Really easily. I could do it right now.
I could do it. I would involve a lot of being quiet, and I would have to look at you, and then I would start having a panic attack about...
You know what? That's my thing. I mean, that's why at night my heart gets weird, is when I'm suddenly really comfortable and, like, everything is placid, and I'm just in bed and like, oh, this is perfect. That's when my heart starts freaking out, and I start getting panicky and... getting scared.
Mine is when I wake up at 5 a.m. It's there's the panic. Like, I wake up and then all of a sudden I'm like, things aren't right, things are bad, things are really, really bad.
Why are you waking up at 5 a.m.?
To panic.
Oh,
it's panic.
It like wakes you up.
I wake up. I just always wake. I never sleep clean through the night, and then I start to panic. I get panic. I'll get really faint if I see blood or think about blood,
mm-hmm.
or if I just get a loop in my head of something disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
But
have you ever tried to give blood?
I can't.
I've tried twice. I passed out both times.
I passed out during a tattoo. Yeah.
You have a bunch of tattoos.
I know, but I passed out during one of them. I pass out every time I give. Every time I have to get blood taken, it's a huge ordeal. I'm dripping sweat. I'm green. There's 8 nurses holding me down.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to do it correctly. They don't know that when you pull my arm open, I'm out. Like, that makes it worse to pry it. They're like, just straighten it. I'm like, it's not a possibility, babe. You're going to have to figure out another way.
I think I'm growing, though, because I've done a blood test recently, and I was pretty good about it. The trick I found is just look at the nurse and ask her questions.
Megan, who's sitting over here, my friend, actually helped me with it. She goes, stop doing that with your, I will pass out. She goes, stop bringing somebody. Because I always brought somebody. And she was like, just go in alone. And it's way better. And then I started doing that. And it is way better. Because you just have to. Because whenever my mom is there, she's always like, you're going to pass out.
Wow.
You know? And
that's,
I'm like,
fucked up.
Yeah, she's very mean.
Yeah, there is something about a third party just watching you that adds pressure, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
It's always like, now I'm factoring in this other person, and that's fucked up.
Sometimes it's almost better to say you're not going to pass out, because then they make you lay down, and then you're like, oh, I'm a problem.
True.
Person.
Yeah, then it's building. It's like, oh, yeah, we have to take care of you. Then you're like, fuck, you know, I'm a person they have to take care of. Like, this is a whole thing.
Yeah.
This is the worst patient they've ever had.
Yes, they're going to have to put me in a psych ward because I'm that kind of person. Yeah. I also, like, when I had a conversation with the Hulu lady.
Who's that?
The lady who works at Hulu, who do? You do. The power of the voodoo? Hulu.
Do what? Remind me of the babe.
There you go. We were sitting talking. It's just like a conversation where you're just like trying to be normal.
You're talking about a general meeting with a Hulu person?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, there's a Hulu person who's going around choosing people to do specials. You know about
this? Oh, really? I don't know about this.
Yeah. Well, I did it, and I just started having a panic attack while I was talking to her. Not because of the pressure, but just because I was like, this would be a really bad time to have it.
Yeah, totally.
And then I was like,
ooh.
Yeah, it was the worst.
And what'd you do?
Totally, yeah. So when did you start working at Disney? Oh, yeah, you sound totally qualified to choose comedians to go into to change the rest of their lives and give them money. 100%. You were the CEO of the left floor dresser at Disney, and now you're deciding my future? No, that's great. I'm really happy that you were a broom closet instructor, and now you're head of comedy. That's great.
And I assure you, You were probably more normal than you've ever been in your life.
That's a fucked up
thing about panic attacks.
Yeah, when you get on stage,
head,
you see it later, and you're like, I was having a panic attack on stage. You watch the set, and you're like, what's up?
You're perfect. You're like so normal.
You're like a skater guy all of a sudden.
That's so fucking... I had a panic attack when I did the that show with Luke, the British show. Do you remember? Did we tell you about this? We did a panel comedy show in London, and I drank like 10 cups of coffee beforehand, and then I had like a massive panic attack and it was a 5-hour shoot. The entire time.
No way. Sweating?
Beating, sweating, freaking the fuck out. So scared. And it's like a nightmare. It's like there's lights all over you. Everyone's in makeup. It's like a clown show. There's a host like saying like blah, blah, blah. Just, like,
oh,
talking,
no.
And then everyone's
no,
like jumping in with jokes. Yeah, that's like if Elon Musk was on a pony, you know. And there's an audience, a British audience laughing at you. And it was one of it
the
was
noises
so fucking
are
scary.
The problem. The restaurant I was at with the Hulu lady was super loud.
Yeah,
I used
noises.
To get panic attacks because there was like a if there would be like just a repetitive sound, I would go into it as a kid. But yeah, that is fucked up. And you just want to be like, can everybody please? And then people will be like, I'm sorry, are you having a panic attack? It's like that voice is way worse.
Oh my God, I know. I mean, I leaned over to Mark Normand was next to me, and I leaned over to him and I said, I might be having a panic attack. I might die. I might die on you. I'm sorry.
And he was like, hey.
And he said, you seem fine to me. That's
really?
What he said. He said, you seem fine. And then I ran off stage.
No, you didn't.
I did. And this is what I mean by everyone thinks you're normal. I ran off stage thinking, oh, he's like everyone's probably thinking that guy's a lunatic. But everyone instantly made an excuse for me. Everyone went, well, I guess he had to use the bathroom.
When did you come back?
I came back like 5 minutes later.
But did you do the bad thing? Did you go into the bathroom and look in the mirror? Because that's
no.
How, that's
I ran backstage and then this big black PA named OC gave me a huge hug and said it's going to be okay.
Wow. Oh, you really had a panic attack. You had a public one.
Oh, it was bad.
There's nothing
and
worse
in
than
my
a
head,
one.
I was going through all the math of like, okay, if I don't do this, my agent is going to be really mad at me and they're not going to be able to tape this episode because they need 5 comedians for it to make sense. Or they need 6 comedians because it's 2 groups of 3. So if I don't do it, they can't shoot it. So that'll waste this BBC production like, who knows, like $80,000, maybe more, probably more. And it's just because I'm freaking out. And then I was like, but on the other hand, if I do it and I die on TV.
That's also good for you.
That's also kind of, that's actually good. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was like, I'll just do it and maybe die on TV.
That's what I always tell myself. When I'm having a panic attack, I go up on stage and I'm like, if I pass out, first of all, anybody who's at my shows knows that I have panic attacks.
Mm.
And they know that, you know, at any moment I could, I have my period 100% of the time pretty much. Mm. So I could just be bleeding out. Like any one of my fans would be like, oh yeah, Jordan faints all the time. She passes out.
That's really nice.
Yeah. Or.
Have you ever had one on stage?
Panic attacks?
Yeah. Often?
Oh, one time, the worst one that I've had is, I had one for an entire set at The Stand the other day. Amazing set because of it, obviously.
Of course.
But one time in Albany, I drank a Celsius.
Oh, fuck those.
And it did not do.
It needs to be regulated.
Yeah.
The stuff is killing people.
And my thoughts were racing so fast that, like, you know, you ever try and, like, breathe and watch your thoughts and you're like, it's just there's no way to slow them down. There's no way to even examine them to slow them down. And you're like, just watch them. And then you're like, focus on the breath.
Oof.
But the
all
breath
the
is all the focusing.
You have to do so much focusing. It's fucked up because there's a sweet spot of caffeine where you're the funniest person who's ever lived.
Yeah. I love caffeine. I drink it all day, every day.
I still drink decaf, and it has a little caffeine in it, and it gives me a buzz. That's how it's since that London thing that now I can't drink coffee anymore, or any.
Really?
I can only have decaf because if I have 3 decafs, I have a panic attack now.
But
my
how
body
soon
is just,
after the what was the BBC thing was after the Claire thing?
This was before the Claire thing.
Oh, really? You guys
were
together?
Divorced. Yeah, we were still together, and she calmed me down. She was sending me videos of our dog in water, and that really helped. Videos of my dog just like treading water, and it really under the panel, like under the podium, I was just watching videos the entire time.
That's what I always do, is I watch something.
It
I do crossword puzzles
it
I'm
really
panicking.
Helps. And then I took a Xanax for the first time
and your life changed,
and now I have a prescription.
It's amazing.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, that's nice that she was calming you down. Too bad you divorced her.
I know, it's the biggest mistake of my life.
It's crazy, Claire, if you're watching this. I know you think I'm a dumb bitch because I'm anti-Islam, but take him back. It's nice that she sent you those things.
No, she was a great partner.
Did you really sign divorce papers?
Yeah, we're divorced.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You?
Oh, yeah.
2 marriages down, and
I know.
23 years old.
I'm 20. I'm 19.
Yeah.
And I've had 2 marriages.
That's crazy. How old are you really? You're
I'm
like 31. 29?
I'm 31.
Oh, 31. Okay.
I'm 31.
That's crazy.
I know. It's been fun on stage, though. I have a lot to say now.
Yeah. I mean, it's hilarious.
It's very
First
funny.
Marriage was when?
17.
17, you met her, another white girl.
This was in high school.
White blonde?
No. She was actually half Colombian, so she had, like, brown hair.
But not Muslim.
Not Muslim, Presbyterian.
But you thought you had to marry her for Allah.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to have a relationship with her that was permissible by my religious principles. So I was like, let me marry you. I told my dad and he was like, let's go.
Really?
Yeah.
But were you in love?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I was a kid. So like she kissed me and I was like, I love you.
And how did you get? So you're one of these. So are you a clingy guy? No.
I do the love bombing.
Yeah.
But I think everyone kind of does that. That's just how a lot of men are programmed, is to like get into a thing, really like a person, be infatuated, think it's going to save every element of your life because it makes you feel fucking great to have this hot, beautiful girl that's cool and gets you and is like validating everything about you. And then after like 6 months, you're like, yeah, this hasn't solved any of my problems, really.
So do you think you have to solve the problems and then get married?
Yeah.
And you didn't do that.
Oh, yeah. I didn't do that the second time. And she would say that. She would say that was probably the biggest problem.
Was that you were depressed about life.
Yeah, and very afraid of the future.
Yeah.
That was a big thing.
And you feel less afraid now?
Slightly.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. It's nice to have a job.
You've
that
always
helps.
Been doing something and then being a bitch about everything.
True. It's true.
It is true.
I know.
But now you're telling me you want to go get married again.
Yeah, I want to get a third wife, but this time I'm doing it Muslim style, which is not easy.
What does that mean? You want to be married to somebody who doesn't, who, oh my God. Okay. All right. You want to be married to somebody who firmly believes the same things that you believe, which are that you obey a very specific set of rules and you will go into heaven, and the rules also align with your ideology around morality, so you are for them. Like, you're like, I actually dig these rules.
Sure, yeah.
And you want somebody else who believes that so strongly, because if you don't, then you know you're going to be marrying somebody who's going to be cast to hell. Do you think you're going to get 40 virgins when you die?
The virgins is not in the Quran. There's no virgins in the Quran.
There are too.
There is absolutely no virgins.
I can Google it right now.
Google it. There's no virgins. There's Hur al-Ayn.
What's that?
Which means large-eyed, pure women. But that's not a virgin. And women get their own version of Hur al-Ayn. Men get theirs and women get theirs.
What is theirs? Geese?
Yeah. No, theirs is like a nice like garden with kittens in it. No, women
does sound great.
Women get their own. Women, they get dicked down in heaven.
By who?
By guy. They have their own sex guys. Men have sex girls. Girls have sex guys.
Is this does this appeal to you? To go? You think? Don't you want to be liberated from your penis when you go to heaven? Don't you want to just have all of that need go away?
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the descriptions of heaven in all religious texts are allegories or metaphors.
This pisses me off when people are like, I'm religious because I just don't take it seriously.
No, I do take it seriously. But when it comes to like, there will be rivers full of wine and honey, it's like, that doesn't really actually sound that good to me, because what is a river? Is it like a, does it come from an ocean of honey? Like it just, but that's the thing. It's a description of a good thing. It's not like literally it's going to be this always, but it's like the idea of it that you're signing on to.
Who wrote the Quran?
Allah, God.
God wrote it through?
The angel Gabriel.
Who wrote it through?
The revelation of the Prophet Muhammad.
He's just a guy.
The best guy.
He's the best guy.
But we don't worship him. We don't believe he's holy in the way that like Catholics believe Mary is holy. Like we view him, or in the way that Catholics or Christians view Jesus as holy. We view him as the best of humanity, but still a human being who died and who used the bathroom and was like just a human being.
He pooped.
He pooped and he peed. And he has a lot of rules about how to poop and pee correctly.
Tell me them.
Well, if you're a man, when you pee, you have to wipe your penis afterwards, Islamically.
Do you do that?
Of course.
No, you don't.
I do it probably 80% of the time. But I do it a lot.
How do you wipe it? Don't look at the camera. That's not Allah. He's not going to help you.
No,
okay?
I know.
I wipe it with, sometimes I'll bring a little paper towel with me and I'll wipe, if I'm at a urinal, I'll bring a little paper towel, pee.
That's
wipe.
The one part of this religion I like.
Throw it. And then when you shit, you have to wash your ass with, like
you
a
never
bidet.
Do that.
I do it probably 60% of the
no,
time.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
I don't have a bidet. There's no bidets in New York.
Well, I haven't pooped in your apartment, but if I did, I can show you how I'll wash it.
How?
See, I wasn't planning on pooping here, but if I have to, I'll bring a bottle of water.
Really?
Yeah.
What if you get poop on the bottle of water? What do you do with it?
You throw it away. But you wouldn't
in my
get,
house?
You wouldn't get you wouldn't get poop on the bottle of water. You don't understand how it works, okay? You learn this when you're a small child in a Muslim home, how to do the bottle water method.
Who was Muslim in your home?
My whole family.
Your mom?
Yeah. Mom, dad, brother.
But she wasn't born Muslim.
She was born Catholic, and she converted when she was like 21.
And she's still very Muslim?
Very Muslim, yeah.
Really?
Hijab, everything.
Hijab?
Of course.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Why do women have to wear hijabs? I'm furious.
So it's a debate about whether they have to, but in the Quran it just says that you have to, women and men too, have to be modest and cover their awra, and the awra means the privates. And
her privates is her forehead and cheeks and face and mouth?
Not mouth, but for women it's considered hair and bosom up to like your forearm, half your forearm. That's your privates.
And your privates is just your stupid penis.
Privates for men is your penis and your belly button. And then everything else is kind of okay. But you're not supposed to show your belly button.
That I'm never showing my belly button.
Great.
It's never out.
Great.
But my arms have to be covered up or else God is judging me?
Up to like here.
Did Claire do that?
No.
So you can just convert to Muslim but not obey any of the laws?
Well, because, again, Islam is not... There's a bunch of ways to practice it, and you can do it the strictest way if you want, and those are the people that you see a lot of because they're the loudest. But that's not how every Muslim practices. A lot of Muslims don't wear any hijab. My sister doesn't. One of my sisters wears hijab, one doesn't, and they're both very religious. They both practice and pray and everything, but... Some view it, they go, well, the Quran literally says cover your like bosom. That's what it says, cover your bosom. It doesn't say cover your hair. The hair comes in from sayings of the Prophet, this is a big difference in Islam. The Quran is considered infallible. The sayings of the Prophet, on the other hand, are considered, they're considered like close to perfect, but you can sort of be a little bit more scrutinizing of them because...
Is there any part of you right now that hears the words that you're saying and thinks like, what are we doing here? Is there a tiny voice anywhere in you that's like, what am I doing? What am I talking about? A prophet is to take it or leave it, but the Quran you got to do. Like, you have one life. Why are we entertaining a full delusion?
Well, it's not a delusion.
I know it's not a delusion
to
you.
I got into this debate with John Marco Ceresi, and at the end of the day, it comes down to belief. If you don't have belief, then there's nothing to... It's okay. It's fine for you. The Quran is full of passages that are exactly about that. And I'm smiling because we talked about this in LA, and you laughed last time I said this. But it's all over the Quran. This is why the Quran's a great book. Because it is full of dialogues about believers and non-believers and how to treat each other. And there's a lot of passages where believers...
Isn't your whole thing you got to kill the non-believers?
No.
Then why do they always be killing people?
We don't. If you compare between what America and the West has done
ignore
versus what
the
America Muslim
the
world...
West.
What do you can't ignore the West.
Not,
the West is the reason for everything.
They weren't killing for God. They were just killing for power.
Which is their God. Their God is money and capitalism. That's,
I totally
that's
agree
the
with
state
that.
Religion
but
of America.
About, I'm talking about Islamic people killing somebody and going, oh, you did it. I'm just going to go to heaven. I almost did an accent, but I didn't.
I kind of wish you did.
No, I'm not going to.
Hmm. People who kill in the name of religion
if
are
you stabbed
all, they're
Luke
all
Mones.
Over. Yeah. If I stab Luke Mones, what? Go on. I've wanted to.
I don't like how fast you said yeah.
I've thought about it. We fight a lot.
If you stabbed him,
yeah,
you would get a free pass.
No.
Yeah.
Of course not.
What if
absolutely
you? What
not.
If he? What if? What is the rule?
The rule is in times of war.
Okay, there is a war going on right now against the Jews.
No, it's against the Israeli government, the Israeli military. It's not against
but
Jews.
But it would count. If you stabbed him right now and he died, it would count.
No, it wouldn't. If I was in Gaza,
yeah,
and I was...
Oh, God, this is going to get me canceled from every comedy club in New York.
But we're just saying, hypothetically, if I was in... Let's not even say Gaza. If I was in a war zone,
I
was a Muslim,
yes,
and there was an enemy combatant coming towards me,
yeah,
and I killed that enemy combatant,
yeah,
that's not a sin. But killing him doesn't get me into heaven.
Then why is that? That's the whole thing.
No,
that's,
it's not.
What about the martyrdom?
Martyrdom is different. So martyrdom is you dying. So if I die, let's say I'm in a war zone, I'm a Muslim, an enemy combatant is coming towards me, and he kills me, then I'm a martyr, then I go to heaven. But if I kill him and then go on to live the rest of my life and I'm a cheater and a rapist and a criminal, I'll go to hell. Killing him, that's not a good deed.
So you can only kill somebody if they're trying to kill you.
Yes, you can only kill somebody in self-defense. And if you die during a battle or during war, then you're considered a martyr and then you go to heaven.
If you die during... Oh, then you go to heaven.
That's what martyrdom is, yes. But it's okay. Not... The killing is secondary to the dying. The dying is the bigger deed.
Right. Which would lead somebody to strap some things to their chest and walk into a place to kill a bunch.
That's a new innovation, by the way, which is redundant. The suicide bombing is since the 80s, and it was, yeah. it came from Iran. Like it's not like a traditional Muslim belief. Muslims are very anti-suicide. It's a sin in Islam to commit suicide. So committing suicide with a bomb.
So you're saying suicide bombers being linked to Islamic people is, that's all propaganda. That's not real.
No, it is real. But I'm saying that the orthodox, mainstream, most strict Muslims, the ones with the big beards that would say that you're a whore for showing your arms, they would look at a suicide bomber and go, that's against Islam.
If it was killing a bunch of Jews?
Yes, yes. Because you're committing suicide. Now there are... There are fringe, very, very fringe people.
So what's the difference between Islam and the beliefs of Hamas?
Well, Hamas is like a political organization.
Right.
So one is a religion and one is a group of people with an ideology. But their ideology isn't strictly Islamist necessarily. Like it is very Islamist, but it's not like directly pulled from the Quran or anything like that.
So are there a bunch of Muslim people out there that are like, the belief system of Hamas is way off?
Yeah, totally. But I mean, I would look at Hamas and I don't even really, more than anything, their reaction to decades of oppression, they're a reactionary force. That's clearly what they are. And if you look at what the guy who founded it, Yassin, whatever his name is, he said, we don't have a problem with Jews. He's like, we have no problem with Jews. Jews are people of God. Jews are religious people. We love religious people. Our problem is with Israel and the Zionist regime. That's what we're at war with. So even the founder of Hamas is, there's this fucking idea in the West that Hamas wants to kill every Jewish person. You just said, if I killed Luke, I would go to heaven. It's like, even Hamas, which is this radical group that I don't agree with fully, even they are not as radical as they're being presented to be, even though they're not good, obviously. They're corrupt, etc. But they're not like, you know, frothing at the mouth to kill every Jew. They don't want to come to Brooklyn and kill every Jew. That's not...
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Yes,
they want
they
Jews
do.
To be in Brooklyn.
They want...
That's their goal.
They
they're
want
to
kill
they wish.
All Jews.
No, they don't.
They do.
They absolutely don't.
What
they,
do you mean?
They
That's
don't.
The whole thing.
No.
Every time one of them kills a Jew, they call their dad and they say, I killed a Jew.
No.
So many voicemails have been recorded saying, I killed a Jew.
That's not true.
Yes,
show me three.
I can show you three.
Do it.
Where's my phone? No, I'm not going to play it. But I've seen a lot
even
of it.
I mean, I don't think that's true. But even if it were true, the numbers are not on your side. There's been 45,000 people killed and, you know, 1,200 Israelis killed. It's like...
But what
this,
about the fact
this,
that Hamas is hiding underground and not letting any civilians down under there?
That, I mean, this is, again, another Israeli talking point where it's like, if the human shields...
I'm only doing Israeli talking points because I have a Muslim here.
I know. If the human shields was a good argument, I think your dog just farted.
Was that my dog? Or was that you? That's going to be a bad one. If you can hear it, that's a bomb just dropped. Speaking of Gaza, leave the strip, dude. That's a fart zone. That's bad. Fart dog.
Coyote.
If
the human shields was like their policy, it doesn't work.
What do you mean?
It doesn't. 45,000 people have been killed. It's like, that's not an effective strategy. If that's their strategy, they're just losing more and more people. It's like it's
they don't care about losing people.
I think a lot of the, I mean, okay, when you see like a rubble and you see a picture.
What's going on? Why are we all of a sudden just terrorism is just like allowed because we are pro-Palestinians not being occupied? I just don't understand
this
whole thing.
That's not.
I understand the Israeli government is corrupt. It's horrifying. And the occupation of Gaza is disturbing. Totally. Cage. Totally get that. But why is there, why are we saying like Hamas are like all right dudes all of a sudden?
I'm not saying they're all right dudes, but I'm saying that any sort of militarized resistance against occupation has to be viewed as such. They're military resistance group. Far from perfect. I disagree with a lot of the shit they do. They're corrupt in their own ways, etc. They
but
all live in Qatar.
They don't think that,
all that shit.
That killing
but
people are going to get. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
they don't
I
don't have the numbers. Therefore, this is suicide.
I agree. I agree. And there is a that's a large reason why I don't like Hamas is because they are at the end of the day somewhat nihilistic. Like they're doing, they do things that
that's
are not going to work.
Martyrdom, though.
In a sense, sure. But at the same time, like the population of Gaza is like. The majority of them are children. The majority of them, 50% are under 18, and then the rest of them are like, there are no old people in Gaza, essentially.
This is my argument.
So the idea I'm trying to convey is that they're young, a lot of them are not incredibly intelligent, and all they know is that their house was bombed at one point, and their grandparents' house was destroyed, and their grandparents had to move to Gaza. The majority of Gazan people are refugees from other parts of Palestine
yes.
that had to go there because their house was destroyed. So you're growing
the
up.
The other important factor is, yeah. and
my point is that they're angry for a good reason, and so
they're angry, but they also think that when they get into heaven, everything will be good.
True.
That is the big problem.
True, and Islamically, we don't live for this life.
That's a problem.
It's not a problem.
Listen to me.
No, it's not a problem. That's
a
good thing. This life is misery.
This life is not misery because you live with other people on it that aren't delusional.
What are you talking about? We're all delusional.
No, if you live in a world where on one side of the street there's a group of people that's like, "Hey, we have to take this street. Sorry, you guys have to move over there." And your people go, "That's fine. We'll just kill you and kill ourselves because then we'll all be in heaven together." This side is like, "No, dude, we signed a deal. You're over there now."
I don't think I followed that.
Like the occupation of whatever it is that whatever happened at whatever point where that became so, there was a forced agreement, however forced it was. It was not, you know what I mean? It was not a locked doors, cages. It was like, this, we're giving you this strip. This is what we're doing. You
I
disagree.
Mean, it was over decades. It was different conflicts that would result in thousands and thousands of people being forced out of their homes.
Okay, pushing and pushing and pushing.
At gunpoint a lot of the time. Yeah, people
right.
being
so
kicked out. And
the
then
problem is if I kick you out, if I gentrify your neighborhood and I kick you out and I move you over there, okay, say it is by force, caged up, you're in
mm-hmm,
there.
Mm-hmm.
If we are now, if you are a people who think that death is no problem because you'll just go to heaven, right? So you can kill all of your people and all of my people, no problem. Right. Mm. I am over here being like, I can't kill all of my people, but I can kill your people, and your people are willing to die and willing to take my people with you.
But here's the difference. When I say that this life is a temporary first stage, which is what Muslims believe, that doesn't
That's
mean
so fucked up.
It's not fucked up. I mean, it's freeing to have that worldview. But at
you
the same time,
you really think that.
Of course I do. But at the same time, that's not dictating policy for the most part until that's the problem with Hamas. Hamas is they only took power in like 2004
right.
in Gaza, but for a long time there was a secular party called the PLO that was trying to negotiate for decades with Israel, and it just would never work out
really
because of Israeli
this,
aggression.
Why do you have panic attacks if you don't mind dying?
Yeah.
Then why are you scared of your heart stopping?
That's a really good question. I mean, here's the thing. Death is not pleasant. Even if
I believe in an afterlife, it doesn't mean that I want this life
we
to end right
something
now.
Something happens. Unless you're a very depressed person who thinks it all is, goes black, which, by the way, is an insane paradox to think, because that just means your consciousness goes on but without eyes. That's like a bizarre thing.
Yeah.
That's as bizarre as religion. But you're saying, and I totally think that I don't remember what happened before I was born. It definitely wasn't bad. I don't remember anything bad happening. And I probably won't remember anything after I die, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is exists. I'm not saying that. But to say that this one is lesser puts a lot of, is a bad, inherently bad way to view things when you have to share the planet with a bunch of people.
I don't think so. Because this one, you're saying this life is lesser. And in that way of seeing this life, it will, at least for me and for people that are practicing, make you hopefully a better person because you want to have a better afterlife. That's the
okay.
point. That's the point of being here, Islamically, is that this is a test of your faith, of your good deeds, etc. You're trying to help other people out. So that's how it works in a societal way. It's like,
or if you're
helping
not
each other
educated
out.
Western Muslim, kill some Jews and then you'll
no.
excel.
Killing Jews doesn't do it. Doesn't get you in.
That's what they think it gets them in. They think that killing in the
killing
name of
a
Allah
guy
gets
who's
them
attacking
in.
You who happens to be Jewish.
Right. So make them attack you and then you go to heaven.
They're already been attacking you for your whole life.
Great. So kill them all.
No.
Yes. That's
no!
what they think.
They don't think that. They want it. They want to kill the ones that are invading them and have been invading them for decades. But they don't want to kill Jews in Brooklyn. That I mean, there's that billboard that fucking stupid company, Jew Belong. Do you know that company? They put up billboards that are like, they had this one that was like, Hamas is your problem too, Pittsburgh, or whatever. They have them all over.
Jew Belong is so funny.
It's
yeah.
awful.
That's the worst name ever.
It's the worst name, and they have these billboards, and one of them said, Hamas is your problem too. And it's like, no, it's not. It's a regional political party that exists because of the circumstance that the Israeli government has put these people in.
It just wouldn't
in.
Surprise me if a Islamic person ran into the subway and blew it up and went for Allah. That just is something that would happen. And it wouldn't happen and has happened. And it wouldn't have. It wouldn't be the guy who's being like, Jesus lives and blows it up. That'd be a Muslim guy. We wouldn't even have to ask him. He'd be dead, but we wouldn't have to look into it. If a guy blew stuff up and happily did it, we'd be like, that's a Muslim guy. That's fucked up.
But at the same time, if you and I were having this podcast in, you know, Kandahar or in Peshawar.
Leave Peshawar out of this. Peshawar, I hardly know her.
If we were in anywhere other than America or England or France having this conversation, we would be saying this except about like, oh, yeah, and if one of our buildings got blown up from afar for no reason that we didn't even understand, it's obviously America that did it. We wouldn't even question it. That's the thing Americans do. The people, the Syrian
You're
government,
not wrong.
The Syrian government's not blowing us up. And the reason I say this is that the rate of people blowing up subways versus the rate of American bombs being dropped on the global south is
I agree
all
that,
out of whack.
That I agree.
And yet, you seem fixated on the fictional subway blow-up guy.
Okay,
but we're blowing
okay.
up shit all over the world all the time.
I agree with that.
And what happens when the buildings in fucking Peshawar get blown up, which has been happening forever? What happens is little kids get raised
that are
dumb. Why do
we keep
doing
the kid things?
Because,
kids are dying everywhere.
No, I'm not saying they're dying. I'm saying little kids who see that grow up going, I don't like the people who blew up that building. That's weird that they did that. And they grow up hating the person that did that. And then that's where you get the guy blowing up the subway.
So how does it make it better to paraglide in and rape a bunch of women?
Okay, there's no actual. There's no evidence of the rape.
There's rape.
There's no evidence
there's
of rape.
There was
there
rape.
There actually is no evidence of rape.
Well, there was a lot of shit. There's still so many hostages.
Yeah, I'm not supporting them doing what they did.
Parasailing was pretty cool.
Okay, so now you want me to say I liked it.
I mean, it was cool. Objectively, parasailing is neat.
Parasailing in,
bringing down the Iron Dome, it was an action movie.
They didn't break down the Iron Dome, but they did break down some gates, and that was kind of cool.
They didn't break it down? I thought they short-circuited it for a second or something.
Oh, maybe for a second they did. Yeah, yeah. But the rapes, I don't believe any rapes happened.
What do you mean? The girl in the back of the truck, we all saw her.
people were getting taken as hostages. She wasn't raped.
When it happened, I thought it was all fake because of all those kids were so fucked up getting on the motorcycles and they weren't resisting at all. And then I realized it was just Molly. And I was like, okay, that makes more sense.
Oh, from the party, from the rave.
Because they're like,
honestly, attacking a rave is not a bad idea.
It's not.
People are going to be real
at like
cool
6 a.m.? Yeah, like, yeah.
Okay, hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go, Waleed. Let's go. Take me to your tunnel, dude. They probably had a good time for the first like 12 hours.
No, the first 30 seconds of being on the motorcycle was still on Molly. Or going
feeling
through
the wind
come down,
through your
yeah.
hair, you were like, oh,
when
man.
You start feeling bad as you're coming down at 6 a.m., birds start chirping, and you're like, dude, I can't, if the party's over, I'll have to kill myself. And then guys whip out on bikes like, get on! And you're like, thank God! Because the music stopped and I was going to have to die.
Oh, man.
Another one of my problems is I do think that I don't like that I'm having to now go... I don't like that I'm finding myself now pushing on a side that I've always been against. I've always been against Israel. I think Israelis are horrible people. And I do. All of them. Every single one of them. And I do think
I'm not
that
saying
there's...
That.
I do think that whenever I meet an Israeli Jew, he's always a misogynistic money pig. And
Jesus.
It's true. It's always the same guy. And, yeah, and it is... I have always been pro-Palestine, but this... has brought up, but I've also been highly critical of organized religion, and now people are being like, not only am I pro-Palestine, but now Islam is cool, which I know is great for you and your hair, but it just doesn't, for me, I'm not okay with people moving back towards religion.
I just don't, because you said this when we talked about it like a month ago, and I don't really see that happening.
What do you mean? I go to the dog park.
Are you talking about
Brooklyn?
People with kafayas on?
No.
What are you talking about? A kafaya is like the patterned Palestinian scarf.
No, I'm talking about Brooklyn women with short hair. All of them.
Doing what? What are they doing?
They're sucking Muslim cock.
No, they're not sucking mine.
They are too. I've seen them. I've seen them do it.
Who? What? You're talking about
your
ass.
You always date white women who think it's great that you're Muslim. They're not worried about it at all that you're that you want to club them and bring them back to your cave.
Yeah, but it's not. No, they don't date me because I'm Muslim. What do you mean?
No,
they date me because I'm a good comic. That's all I have going for me.
That's a really good point.
I'm just funny, and then I message them, and they say yeah, and then
but
we get married.
They don't get turned off at all when you're like, by the way, I want you to wear a scarf over your head for the rest of
your
life.
I never have said that.
But you want that. You want a woman
I don't
who
want
wears
that.
A headscarf.
I don't. No, no. Well, I'm open to it. Look, I'm open to... I'm trying to marry a Muslim woman. That's the next stage
of my life.
You know
what I don't like? You love titties so much, and now all of a sudden you're like, it's a bad thing to show titties.
I never said it's a bad thing to show titties.
You can't. It just is ridiculous. Yes.
How do you know that
modesty.
I love titties so much?
You
don't know that.
You love big titties. I know that about you. Big milkers.
Okay, I like big milkers. But... It's up to a woman's discretion to decide if they show their milkers, knockers, hooters, what have you. I never told her how to dress a single time.
Yeah.
To the point where she got upset because she was like kind of wishing that I was more jealous over how she dressed.
Yeah.
And she, through that, started dressing more modestly. And I didn't have to say anything because I didn't care. I'm like, you can dress however you want. I love you. We have sex. That's great. However you dress is up to you. To
so
be fair,
long as you're Muslim.
No, I never made her convert either. I didn't. I fully was fine with whatever you know her beliefs were.
But now you want a wife that's fully
now
Muslim.
I want a Muslim wife just because I think it's easier for everybody, and it's easier to have kids, etc. And because I don't want to have sex anymore. I'm done having premarital sex.
What does that mean?
It means I seek refuge in God. I ask God for forgiveness. I'm
you
done having
to ask that into the world and it, have it given to you. Nobody's listening to you. Do you understand
what do you,
that?
What do you mean? What can I ask?
You can't just ask for forgiveness. There's
yes,
nobody who's going to grant
Allah
you something.
Azza wa Jalla, Islamically,
he's not listening.
Yes, he is. Allah hears everything.
He's not real.
Yes, he is. But this is okay. This is okay. Because it doesn't matter what you do. The Quran is full of passages. Whatever you do, the disbeliever will not believe.
But I'm going to go to hell. We won't hang.
We're not going
to
hang.
What?
We're probably not going to hang.
If when we die, we won't hang out.
Well, there's difference of opinion. Some people believe
that's
that
so mean.
It's not my fault, but also I don't think people go to infinite hell. I think hell is a temporary.
What?
Yeah, a lot of Muslims believe. A lot of Muslims believe that there's not that hell is like a temporary stage.
If somebody is
it's a punishment, and then you go to heaven. That's
okay.
Some people believe in infinite hell. Some Muslims do believe in infinite hell. And some,
what do you believe?
I think it's infinite for some people, but then for the most part.
What does it say about gay people?
Gay people didn't exist at the time of the prophet, but same-sex relations are forbidden in Islam.
Why? Poop?
Yeah, probably.
It's poop, yeah. I get it. Yeah. If you have to wash your asshole every time, you can't be putting that in somebody's
ass. I think
this
is a thing that we could actually agree on.
Yeah, the gay people are bad.
Yeah.
Totally, 100%. I just... Don't you want to have a little bit of unknown? Why do you think that you have the hubris that you think that you and your kin know what happens? Don't you ever take a little bit of mushrooms and look out into the grass and get that everything is all one matter and there's this infinite unknown space that you're going to embark into in death? Isn't it awful that they've already put a pattern and a picture behind that? They don't know. Nobody knows what that looks like. That's the beautiful thing about life, is that everybody's guessing, everybody's killing themselves over who's deciding what it looks like. But we all know in our hearts that nobody fucking knows, and that's why there's so much war.
That's not why there's so much war.
There is war, because everybody's afraid of death, so they're freaking out.
That's not why
they're losing their goddamn minds.
That's not why there's war. No, it's... I mean, I have to get
power so that I have legacy, so that I never die, therefore I have to take your country down. Yes, it's all about death.
Yeah, that's true, and that's a bad thing. These aren't good things. These are bad things. You're describing a world without any kind of faith, and it is ultimately bad.
I think that there should be a faith in this life has been pretty cool, so the next whatever happens next is going to be sick, and it's not just going to be bad. That's insane. But when a society of people, no matter how old it is like, no, you know what? I actually know what happens. It takes away from the beauty of that none of us know. Not one of us gets to know. And you have to find out.
But in Islam, that's a part of the beauty of the whole thing, is that that's what faith is. You're having faith in this unknown, unseeable thing. So what you're describing as beautiful, unknown, I also have it, except that I have a picture of it that's been drawn for me that's been drawn forever by everybody. Every civilization has had some version of an afterlife.
And doesn't that lead you to believe that nobody knows? Why does your guy know?
Because I think that the original guy knew. I think in Islam we believe there's a long lineage of prophets that were all rightly guided.
Do you really think what you're saying?
Yes.
Do you really think that there's one guy in the past who knows? How would he know?
I think there's several guys.
How would he know?
Several men in the past have known.
Tell me how he knows.
Through revelation.
Who told him?
Angel Gabriel.
Who the fuck is that? You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Megan, do you agree with me? Do you know what I mean? Who the fuck is Angel Gabriel?
Jibrail.
No, he's not.
Jibrail, the ruh.
You're just making
this is the ruh, the soul. The ruh.
You can't do that. You can't say that a little goblin man with wings
is not
like,
a goblin.
I'll tell you a secret. Here's what happens. Who is that guy?
It's an angel from God.
Do you hear yourself?
Do you hear yourself? Somebody... You're arguing with the majority of human beings right now. I stand on the side of humanity.
Humanity believes in a guy named Gabe?
Yes.
No.
Not a guy. Humanity for the longest time, and to this day, the majority of people are theistic people.
You know what people before theism were? Chimps. Just chimps picking their buttholes.
We were chimps.
Yeah. Monkeys. Dumb monkeys. And then we started clicking tools together, and then we went, I know what it's like when my buddy dies. Where did he go? Well, something must. And then our brains keep getting bigger and bigger until we become delusional people that think we have to have only maritals. Blah, blah, blah.
So you don't think that there's some majesty in the transformation from chimp to podcaster?
Absolutely.
There's a majesty and there's a supernatural
it's called
power.
Growth.
Exactly. And that growth, this is where we differ. That growth, in my opinion, comes from a tap from on high that turned
no,
us on.
No, you don't think that
it
anybody
turned
tapped.
Us on. Yes, there's a. It turned us
you,
on
we know
into
what happened.
Moral creatures.
No.
Before that, we were amoral.
If I start tapping a tool together and then I point to your Neanderthal ass and I go, do, do, and you go, do, do. our brains get smarter. That's why we're losing our wisdom teeth. We are shifting to become different creatures, and you shift enough that all of a sudden you become a creature that has the agriculture. And now I'm wondering, okay, am I in danger? Because my biology is telling me to be in danger. No, I'm not. I guess he's the problem. And then we start fighting with each other. And then we start bartering, because that's our new saber-toothed tiger, is to get exchange and wealth. It's all a very incremental growth that you can watch, calculate, and it's all there. The thing that's not there is Gabriel. Who is
Gabriel's
that?
There.
When did he come in?
Gabriel is there. Angel Gabriel is there. The difference is just, I think that it was there's holy maneuvering that changed us from the monkey into the person that can have a podcast. And in that transformation,
monkeys could have podcasts. Monkeys
do. That actually is true, and that's a good point. But the idea being that what made human beings these moral, confused, complex creatures was a twist of fate from God that placed us into a place where we're tested on a daily basis, moral questions and
just
quandaries.
Just for fun? Just for fun for him?
Yeah.
No.
It's not up to us why.
I don't.
The Quran is full of that too. Of there's a quite, here's a great passage from the Quran. The angels ask Allah, why would you allow these people, these human beings, to commit evil? The Quran addresses this. Even the angels asked him.
Yes.
And the answer is, this knowledge is only with me, Allah, and you're not allowed to
know
it.
Oh, that's an easy trick.
That's the truth.
Wouldn't you like to know, is what God said.
Yeah, basically.
Why? Yeah, that's a great question that this man asked that didn't have an answer for it, the person who was writing this book down for fun. This is crazy. No. Look, I want to be religious. I go to recovery groups. I feel the higher power thing. I feel connected. I feel that there's a higher form of Jordan that knows what's up. I believe in intuition. I believe that your body understands more than your stupid brain does. I believe in all that. But that's not a belief. That's something that is tangible. It is there. What time is it?
I believe in 4 minutes.
How long have we been going?
I don't know. What does it say?
I'm not sure. 53.
Oh.
We've done great.
Can I leave in 4 minutes?
Yeah, absolutely. You can just walk right out. Isn't that nice?
That is nice.
Yeah.
What were we saying?
You know, it's funny because it also, do you think it's crazy what I think?
No, because I live in America.
Okay,
and so
okay.
I'm confronted with atheism and non-belief all the time, and so I'm very comfortable with it.
I hate the term atheism too. I hate the idea that I hate the idea that even I can objectively say it's just that. You know what it is? It's that I don't, and this is what I've wanted, why I wanted to talk with you. It's that I honestly, in my heart, I don't believe that you believe these things.
I know you say that a lot.
I know, and every one of my religious friends I do this with, and I have so many close friends that are very religious, and it feels like I'm like, but when are we going to do the wink that's like, you know what I mean? That's like, that's not, it's
well,
not really
the
happening.
Wink you're looking for is just that you're right in the sense that I've never died. You've never died. Death is this ultimate thing that none of us truly can know.
You know what it
so
is?
So you're right. Like every religious person has doubt. That's a part of religion. It's a part of Islam. Doubt is built into it.
Don't you know in your heart that if somebody came in and shot us both, whatever happened to you was happening to me? Don't you believe that?
I think similar things are happening to us.
You really
but slightly different.
You really think you're going to go to a sex palace in the sky? A place
it's
with
not
sexy
a literal
ladies,
sex palace,
big-eyed
but
pale women,
big-eyed pure women. They're not pale.
You think they're
going to
be waiting for you there?
No, because I'm not
know.
A martyr. And well, if I die by a gunshot, I would be a martyr. So yes, I would get the big-eyed pure women. That's true. But I don't want to die that way.
If a guy shot us both, you don't know what would happen.
I don't literally know.
But you know it would
but
be
I have
the
belief,
same
I have
as what happened to me. And I have my arm showing. You think you just get funneled into a different place?
Yeah.
You march down a hallway and I'm brought a different way? There's no way.
Yeah.
You really believe that?
Yes.
You think... You know what is interesting?
Hmm.
If I do believe the thing that I believe, then it's crazy that I ever like kill a spider. And I've thought about this a lot.
Why?
Because if I do believe that death is all one level, it's crazy that I would take the life of a any other living creature. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's you're kind of Buddhist in a way.
Yeah.
The idea that we're all on the same page.
Yeah. Do they eat meat?
Some of them.
Yeah. It sucks. I mean, that does suck. But yeah, and I think about that every time I kill a bug is I'm like, I'm operating like a religious person because a religious person would think that a human would get a higher level of...
I'm calling my Uber right now.
Okay.
Is that okay?
It's fine. I can't wait for you to go join your Muslim brother in the car.
I'm doing a one-man show.
When? About your dad?
About my dad, about his car, about religion, about my first marriage.
Where is it?
It's in L.A. I'm doing it at Lyric Hyperion, June 13th. Yeah, I'm going to do it here again.
I've seen it.
Did you really?
I opened for it.
Yeah, but you didn't see it.
No.
Yeah, you had to leave.
I had to leave.
It's pretty good.
Is it good?
I think it's good. No, I like it because it's very Muslim, but it's also like, it's not pandery and it's pretty joke heavy and it's also very personal, more than it is like Muslim. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very personal.
What was it that your dad has the car?
He had a car that he painted all over.
For Allah.
Yeah, well, yeah, to convert people. He painted like, you know, Jesus never said, worship me. He painted, let me find it. I have an album.
Jesus never said, worship me? What's that mean?
Because he's saying that Christians are crazy for believing that. Here's my dad's car.
Oh my God. So your dad was he a sane man?
He was sane. He was just eccentric and very religious.
You're not gay to friend yet?
To love a friend.
You're not gay to love friend. It's abomination.
To violate.
Think or no heaven?
Mm-hmm.
What's that mean? Rectum is not an entrance. Repent.
That's my dad.
Rectum is not an entrance.
Yeah,
repent.
He was a complicated guy.
Holy shit.
Yeah, come to my one-man show.
Go to the show.
Go
I'm
to the
go.
Show.
What's it called?
It's called Heavenly Baba. I think I'm going to change the name.
I love the name. Do not change
really?
The name. Heavenly Baba is so good.
Okay. Thank you.
Heavenly Baba is great. Okay, bye.
Bye.